The Ten Commandment, you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's, is repeated essentially for us several different times in the New Testament. One example is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, where Paul says that covetousness should not even be named among us as Christians. Now, we covered covetousness in some detail in two different sermons in our recent Kingdom series when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 13. So let me just mention briefly a few salient points about covetousness this morning. First of all, we ought to notice the fact that, as we've seen, all of the Ten Commandments apply to the heart by implication. But most of them will actually name the full flower, the full fruit of the outward effect of the sin. So, for example, it says, do not murder. But as Jesus would teach us, do not murder also includes tearing down the good name or reputation of our neighbor. It means standing against the life of our neighbor in some way. It also means being angry unrighteously with our neighbor. And so the Bible makes it clear that it's not just the full fruit of the sin that is being named, it's also the heart that produces that fruit that's by implication condemned in all of the Ten Commandments. But that's by implication in all of these commandments. The Tenth Commandment is the only one that expressly and exclusively applies to the heart. Coveting is something you can only do in your heart. Now, several other commandments, though, name the full expression of how coveting tends to come out. James points out to us that coveting leads to envy, which is a form of resentment toward another person for possessing the thing that we wished we had, that they have. It may be something physical, it may be a house, maybe a car, maybe a job, maybe a bank account, trust fund, what have you. Or it may also be someone's wife or their husband, or it may be a talent or something that they possess. It may be their good looks or their good personality or their ability or intelligence in a certain area. But it expressly applies to the heart. But when that coveting comes out and its fraternal twin, envy, is produced, the Bible tells us that several things usually result. One of them is ill will toward our neighbor, and that usually comes out either in some form of theft, because there is a desire to take what our neighbor has, or at least remove it from them so they don't have it, so that they don't have it and they're like us now. Basically, that's the way it results. Or we want to redistribute what they have in the name of justice or fairness and that sort of thing. And it can ultimately result in murder. So James tells us that coveting and envy are at the root of all kinds of evil. James chapter 4, he says, where you have coveting and envy and abundance and the kind of heart that produces them, you have chaos and every evil thing. It's interesting that the Bible tells us in Exodus that when it comes to selecting rulers, Exodus 18 verse 21, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. It doesn't just say that they're not characterized by covetousness. It says that they hate covetousness. They hate that mentality because they understand it comes from unbelief. They understand it comes from looking at somebody else's situation in comparison to ours and basically concluding that God is not fair. Our society is not fair because we perceive that their situation is somehow different and there's no crime involved. They haven't stolen our stuff. If they've stolen our stuff, we can go to the courts and receive justice that way. We think at base that simply the fact that they have a different situation from us means that things are not fair, and ultimately that means that God is not fair. And so it is ultimately unbelief that's at the root of covetousness. And so true rulers, according to God's word, are those who hate that attitude because they understand what's at the root of it and they know how untrue it is. It is at base a blasphemy against God. These are to be the rulers, it says in Exodus 18, verse 21, all the way down, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten. All the way down to rulers of ten. You don't even get to be a ruler of ten unless you show yourself to be a person who hates covetousness. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 16, it says, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. Notice how it sets in opposition, on the one hand, political oppression by a ruler. On the other hand, what's opposed to that? He who hates covetousness. When you look down through political history going all the way back into Old Testament times, you can see that just about every tyrant that's ever arisen in human history has arisen on the backs of a message of covetousness, envy, and we're going to bring about justice, we're going to bring about fairness by taking from them and giving somebody else, and then the tyrant says, you need to put me in power, you need to give me all the power, and I'm going to make everything fair. So when you have a people like we have come to be in our country that is not only electing representatives who hate covetousness, but we have a system that's dominated by it from top to bottom, you have a people who are under judgment. And this is something that should guide our prayers, and it's something that should guide our own confession of sins. We of all people should make sure that we're free of covetousness.